If we win, I'm reading the paper in the cafe. If we lose, I'm in a dark room for probably 12 hours.
Just seeing pictures of myself places I hadn't seen them before, that at times made me a bit edgy.
We don't want to be known for a group that just loses, so we're not accepting losing.
I giggle at some of these comments from the experts, and they don't really know what's going on.
I think people can really see the way that we want to play because we think that it works and it stacks up.
It's great fun. When you're winning, not when you miss goals after the siren. That's
your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Nice to have Sean Greig back with us on the Inner Sanctum on a Thursday morning. Morning to you, Sean.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you back, mate.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I enjoy this time of the day, and I like the jumper Whitey's got there. Yeah.
What's he running with?
New England Patriots. Big NFL fan I am. So,
oh, yeah. Who's your team?
Pittsburgh. Yeah, oh, Big Ben. I like Big Ben.
Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Antonio Brown. Or Le'Veon Bell. Mm.
Is he still wearing the beard, Ben, these days?
Oh, he mixes it up. I think they're in the training camp at the moment, but I don't think the big fella would be doing too much.
No. So what's the appetite for US sport? We talked about US sport before. In the footy rooms there at Richmond, is everyone into it? Baseball, football, whatever?
NFL's big. We've got a fantasy competition that's been running for about 5 or 6 years that all the boys get into. And there's two leagues. There's that much participation.
Is that right?
Sort of relegation promotion?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, so that's always good fun. So it's coming up to sort of draft time in the lead up. So we'll put our hats on and have the draft.
Have you been to much live sport overseas?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit of the NFL, which... A couple of times we've been over there for training camps and been lucky enough to do that. And we also had Cam Newton, the quarterback for Carolina, come out and train with us for about 2 weeks. And he ended up winning the MVP that year too.
Mm. We talk often about other sports and how they get integrated into our sports. And soccer, there's a lot of soccer around, you know, the formations and things like that, particularly behind the ball. Do you see any advantages in what you know of NFL bringing that into AFL?
Oh, I'd love to bring in like the locker room banter and how much they get paid. That'd be all right if we could bring that into AFL. Not really. I suppose tactics, and I love how, you know, they have the set plays, and before the actual play happens, they know what's going to go on. So sometimes we can have similar little things like that.
Because it's interesting, I think, around the forwards and their, you know, if you look at the wide receivers, you know, the hook leads and things like that. Because I think that has kind of come into our game a little bit, with the forward set a little higher as opposed to just coming out of the goal square. That I think Favola was one that looked at that quite a lot. I think Jack thinks a bit like that with the way he leads, a 2 or 3 lead sort of formation things.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you take... do you look at other athletes, how they go about their training regime and all that? Do you try to implement that anyway into your training?
Yeah, I always keep a keen eye out. And it was good to see Cam Newton when he trained with us. He's a beast of an athlete, sort of probably 6'5" and, you know, over 100 kilos and lightning fast and good in the gym. And he was pretty good with the footy too. He could kick it all right.
Is there cash on the line? I'm going back to the fantasy leagues. Is there cash on the line?
Yeah, there might be a little wager. Might be a little wager. A
couple of Spud Bar vouchers.
Wow, couldn't go wrong with a Spud Bar voucher.
We would like to set up a league here, but you'd be too busy. Not enough time.
I've got no interest.
Enough hours in the day.
I've got no interest in fantasy leagues. I just can't get my head around it. It's just not my thing. Not my thing. I'll tell you what is my thing, though. The footy and Richmond are my thing. I love the Tigers. Close shave on Friday night? What was the wash-up? What was sort of the feedback? Because you had the game in control for most of it. There were patches where Geelong had, you know, had control, maybe for 10 minutes here and there, but you really owned the game. What was the sort of discussion afterwards?
Yeah, that's what happens with good teams. We knew they were going to come and sort of wrestle the momentum for some parts of the game. And, to their credit, they played really well. It was a little bit of a different look than what we faced earlier in the year against Geelong. We only played them probably 7 or 8 weeks ago. And the sort of difference that I found personally was I thought they played like they would if they were playing at their home ground. The ground's a lot skinnier. It felt like they played through the middle a bit more, and they didn't want to really go wide and sort of get lost at the MCG, which to their credit, worked for them.
So how do you review the last sort of 6 minutes of that game? Obviously, that's when they kicked a couple of goals. And was there lapses in your guys' concentration from a defensive point of view, or was it your when you had the ball in your hands?
Yeah, we didn't really have the ball in our hands too much. That was probably half the battle. It's just in the game of AFL, it's so hard to stop momentum. That's what probably separates the teams up the top and down the bottom is you can wrestle the momentum back. And Geelong are a really good team, and they've got some great players, offensive players, and once they got on a roll, they were hard to stop.
So why do we see teams at the end of games when they're trailing by three or four goals? Excuse me, be able to push
emotional.
I am a little bit emotional because I picked Geelong, but we won't talk about that until tomorrow.
Oh, you've coughed up a lead,
yes,
too.
Yes, I have, I know.
It's
I know.
Great.
Yeah, don't laugh. It's not, yeah. But why do we see teams be able to kick three and four goals late in games really, really quickly when they're pushing really, really hard? What changes in your game style? Is it just high risk and go for it?
Yeah, I think there's probably an element to that where you play the high risk, high reward, where if it gets through and it works, you can score quickly. But if you turn it over and it doesn't work, then you can get scored against. So it's always that, you know, the wrestle of if you've got the lead, do you try and hang on to it? Or in the past, that's probably hurt us. Last year, we learnt the lessons of those four close games we lost by under a kick because we probably went to save the game too early. And, you know, or on the other hand, do you keep playing how you're playing and try and kick another one or two and really put the game to bed?
Just based on what you were saying before about Geelong doing something a little different to what you expected, have you found that this year, that clubs are doing different things to try and break down the premiership team or have to come up with different ways of playing because it hasn't worked previously?
Yeah, we've noticed teams have tried some stuff against us, which has been good because we've had to sort of change some things on the fly and adjust during the game, which has been a great challenge for us. So, yeah, it's always a challenge. Every week is a sort of different set of challenges from different teams. So it keeps it pretty exciting.
Is it a bit of a bonus coming into a finals campaign when you might come up against a team like Geelong and having seen them play that hand already? So you've got that on file to be able to rectify and deal with if they do it again?
Yeah, it is probably good to see it now, but also on the flip side of that, most teams, you generally know what most teams are going to try and do week to week. It's just some teams are so good it's hard to stop.
Yep.
But it's probably good to get a look at it now. But, you know, on the flip side of it, if they play well again and get the momentum going, you know, they're going to be hard to stop, even though that we probably know what we're going to be facing.
Are you guys playing well?
Yeah, we are. We've played some good footy. We've had a couple of really red hot games the last couple of weeks with, you know, the Pies. They really threw everything at us, and that was a tough game, and Geelong as well. But you know, we've been working on a couple of things and tinkering with a couple of things. So hopefully, just like last year, our best footy's in front of us still.
The clearances. You write down on the list of clearances if you match up with everyone else in the competition. Is that just an anomaly, or is it something that you don't necessarily focus as much on as some of the other teams? Because I think it's an interesting stat. What are you shaking your head at?
Well, they're the highest scoring team from turnover.
Yeah.
Well, so there's method.
Yeah, I want to explain that, sort of dig into that a little bit deeper.
Well, I don't think that we want to go in losing the stoppages. we want to try and win and get the game going our way and play in our forward half. But, you know, if it's sort of like every team. If we do happen to lose a stoppage, we want it to make it hard for them, you know, whether it's a quick kick out or, you know, a lot of pressure around the ball to give our backs a chance. We have some elite defenders who are great at winning the ball back. So if we do lose the stoppage, us midfielders want to put, you know, pressure on the ball to make it easier for them.
Geelong was a bit like that, weren't they, when
they were
in that really successful era, that the statistics weren't really backing up how well they were going from a clearance point of view because they get off turnover and away they go.
I think Hawthorn might have been a bit similar too throughout their three-peat as well, that their clearance numbers, they were 17th or 18th in clearances, I think.
Hold your back six and outnumber, and then that's where you start your scoring chain from.
It's, yeah, get your shape. And then, and as Sean says, it's a really good point that you're happy to lose it if it's dirty ball coming out. Like if it's not clean ball breaking through the front or laterally from the contest and the player with the ball's got time and space. If it's hack forward, then you can defend that.
Yeah.
But if you let it come out easily, then that's when the challenges arise in terms of your clearance number. So you don't actually need to win it, but you just got to make sure if it is coming out, it's coming out nice and dirty.
So for the people that are listening, can you explain a few different scenarios as to why that's the case? Like, so if Richmond's got an extra number behind the ball, where the opposition's player is he behind the ball at the other end or is he in the contest? Like, because I think it's interesting to explore how it is that Richmond always seem to have more players on the field than the opposition, because it often looks like that.
Richmond are unbelievable at the moment at outnumbering. So that's what I was going to ask Grigor. What he speaks about the clearance loss is then the most important part after that clearance loss is where the midfielders end up from spread.
Yeah, it is. You know, we've got some guys that have incredible work rates. You know, Kane Lambert is an animal. Dion Prestia, when he's been playing, missed last week, really works hard. And yeah, we pride ourselves on you know, an even mix in that midfield who are hard working blue collar type players.
Are you a blue or a white?
A blue or white? What
collar? Collar.
No, blue.
Blue. Definitely blue. Straight to blue.
Definitely blue.
You don't want to be known as a white collar player, do you? You don't want that tag. You want to be blue.
Yeah, I don't think we have any really.
No, that's why you're a good team. Tell me more about Kane Lambert. I don't know much about Kane Lambert apart from what I see on television with his football. He must be a very, very determined character, Kane Lambert.
Definitely is. Yeah, he's missed a lot of drafts and never really gave up. Dominated the VFL competition for four or so years, I think. Yeah,
a long time.
I think the tipping point was he had about 40 touches and kicked four goals in a prelim for Williamstown. And fortunately for us, we picked him up in the rookie draft. And it's no real surprise when he got his chance to be on a list how he's progressed, because his work rate is huge. He doesn't leave any stone unturned. He trains really hard and he's just a really good team player for us.
As guys through the years that have come in on the back of like rookie drafts and missed a few drafts and that type of thing, and that they would get to the club and they'd be these training animals and they compete as hard as anyone in the one-on-one stuff. Other guys, the number one draft picks or the first round, second round draft picks that have had a nice passage through seem to just sort of float through a bit, from my experience anyway. Is he like a real dog, one-on-one, he's coming for you?
Yeah, he's got some incredible strengths, like his work rate is huge. The way he can just keep running is a real asset for us. And the more footy he's played, the more confident he's become with the ball in his hand. And he's been really damaging the last couple of years for us.
Do you reckon the opposition teams are paying him more respect now?
I think so, yeah. I think they're probably more aware of what he's capable of. But, you know, that's probably the beauty about our team. We're pretty even and we don't rely on one or two players to get us over the line.
What about your training block at the moment? Obviously, you've probably known you're playing finals now for a few weeks. Have you gone into a hard training block to really prepare yourself for finals? Have you noticed there's been the tempo has picked up or the quantity of training has picked up?
It's been a little bit different because we've gone from the last couple of weeks, we've had a 6-day break, 8-day break, 6-day break coming up. So every week is a bit different. And the season is so long, it's hard to really, you know, really ramp up training. We train pretty hard every week, to be honest. And our fitness staff and physios and doctors over the last couple of years have got a great record with keeping players out on the park. So, yeah, we'll trust them. And, when they tell us to get some work in, we get some work in. When they tell us to rest and recover, we do.
So is that luck, that getting players on the park, or is that preparation, do you reckon? Because a lot of clubs are having huge issues with injuries this year.
I think it is a bit of both. Maybe if you get through 6 months or a year with hardly any injuries, you might say, oh, we've had a bit of luck. But for us, it's been over sort of 2 years now.
Yeah,
so absolutely. It probably isn't. We've got a great team of staff down there. Anthony Shackey, our head physio, is unbelievable. He's been there for years and years and doesn't get the recognition he deserves. But Peter Burge as well, our high performance manager, and Luke Meehan, who's in charge of our weights, they're all working in a great team.
We hear so many clubs of players when they train, they're on, you know, reduced time limits and the like. But I continue to hear out of Richmond, majority of the players do 100% of the session every single week. Is that true?
Yeah, every player is looked after and respected what they need to do, that's for sure. But the beauty about our club is we rock up to training every day, and training's so fun. Everyone wants to train. Everyone
wants to lose your spot.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone wants to be out there and enjoying training, because we really do enjoy what we do. We work really hard on our game, but we have fun doing it.
Does it feel the same as it did last year? Because obviously you've now got that template of success of what you're able to achieve last year. You're sort of 3 or 4 weeks out from the final series. Does it feel the same? Does it have to feel different because you've got a different set of challenges? Are the confidence levels there? What's the feeling around the camp about like?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit different. As last year, we had our sights set on the top four, and we were outside the top four, I think, maybe this time last year. And we needed to win, most every game, and we were sort of looking at other results to go our way, whereas this year it's sort of in our control. We're in the top two at the moment, and if we keep winning, we're going to stay there. So that's nice to know that it's on you, not relying on any other games.
does it make you more relaxed that you don't you can just how much of an advantage is that you just can you can actually control the circumstances from here?
Yeah, it just removes probably that other anxiety that you're worrying about other results, which we're not. We're just focused on us. And like I said, if we keep winning, then we're going to finish in the top two.
Because you had the similar situation, Rama, at Essendon, about that whole thing of sitting high up, knowing you're the best team, 3-4 weeks out from the final series. Do you have to guard against complacency, or are you so well drilled that that's okay?
You do, but also at the same time, there's a fear that you may lose your spot, particularly for guys from about position 16 in the team. There's a real fear factor in, geez, I don't want to miss out on this. So the complacency side of that is really out probably on the training track more than the game. I think once you get to the game, everybody's competitive. They want to play, but the complacency can come on the training track. As Greg is talking about here, if you've not completely switched on, it's very difficult.
Geez, you must have had a lot of injuries for you to get a game. 7:22, Sean Greg is with us in the Inner Sanctum on the Breakfast Club. We'll take a break, come back with more after this.
Exclusive access behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
7:25 on a Thursday morning. Sean Greg has joined us in the Inner Sanctum of the Tigers. They got the Gold Coast this week, Saturday at Metricon. What's your record like at Metricon?
Not great, I don't think. I think we've played them 7 times and beaten Gold Coast 4, and they've beaten us 3.
A couple of in Cairns.
Yeah, in Cairns, yeah.
Ah, yes, right.
So, the Carmichael Hunt game.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't reckon Brendan Gale will sell those games again.
I don't think you need to when you've got 100,000 members fighting around.
No. That's right.
Albeit you're playing Gold Coast this week, your interstate record has been poor. You haven't won interstate this year. Anything changed this week, or business as usual, are you trying something different?
Yeah, it has been not great this year. We haven't won yet. In the past, we've had a pretty good interstate record. So that's one thing that we're really focused on this week is to rectify that. And, you know, we've got to go up there with a good mindset because we saw a couple of weeks ago Gold Coast knocked over the Swans. And when they play good footy, you know, they're going to be hard to beat. So we've got a couple of reasons to go up there and knock off that interstate record.
So do travel plans change in any way? Are you going to train on Metricon day before the game or do something different?
Yeah, we always do that. We're flying up Friday tomorrow and having a run around up there and we play during the day, which is nice, and nice fly straight more. Back. So yeah, we're looking forward to getting away together. Yeah, straight back after the game. Cool. Because we've got a 6-day break leading into the Bombers. So we'll get up there and try and rectify this interstate record this year.
So is it discussed this week from does Damien Hardwick bring it up, the record?
Well, he hasn't yet. We've got our main training.
He will.
We've got our main training today, so we'll have a look at the Gold Coast then. But it's something that we want to put to bed, and we want to win interstate.
We've asked this question a bit to our players that come in here about that main training session, what it's like. So, what time does it start today for you?
I'll head in straight after this, and we'll have a meeting on the Gold Coast, sort of 8:30-ish, and then we're into our main session.
And so, would you like strap your ankles, do all that sort of stuff like you were playing, or is it different to the way you prepare?
No, I strap my ankles. A lot of the guys do and prepare sort of like it's a game. It's boys shaking their heads over here. Rama, no.
I never strap my ankles. It's shocking.
Lucky. We go at it. We'll be out there for a couple of hours and training's pretty full on.
So when you come off the field, are you not as tight as you would be after playing a game, but what's the? I mean, is there a significant recovery required after a training session? How intense is it? And you say you're out there for 2 hours. It's a long time.
Yeah, that's probably the balance that the fitness staff get paid for. It's getting enough work into the players, but not tipping them over the edge. We want to be fresh come Saturday. That's our main event of the week. So, but we also want to get enough work in to improve and keep our legs ticking over. And we've also got, probably four guys coming back this week. You know, maybe Nathan Broad, Dion Prestia, and if Jack Graham and maybe Reece Conker get through training.
Reece Conker.
Also, Basha Hooley.
Pretty handy ins.
Played in the VFL as well. So they've got to get through training, but those guys, not too far away at all.
You Reece Conker, that's would be miraculous if he was to even play VFL this week.
He has been training pretty well. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, but maybe I'm jumping to conclusions. But he's looking pretty good on the track already.
So how long has he been running for?
A couple of weeks. Yeah, he's turned the corner pretty quick.
Hey, I just want to ask you about another player, Dylan Grimes. I don't think he gets enough credit. We're speaking to Ben Stratton later in the show, and I think those guys are very, very similar in terms of probably the regard they're held at within the football club, but they don't get the external praise that they probably deserve.
Yeah, Grimes, he's been fantastic. Last year, he won our Players Award that us players vote on from week to week, and so he's held in very high regard at our footy club, and he just gets the job done week in, week out. Got a nice little winery, Mount Macedon, as well. So he's a real sort of country boy that loves getting his hands dirty. And he's out there doing the vineyards and playing around with little bobcats and those sorts of things. He loves it.
So he doesn't live up there, does he?
He's up there quite a bit. He's also got an apartment in Richmond as well. So, probably half and half. He loves it. And boys have been out there a couple of times. It's a great setup.
Nice wine.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does well.
Well, when he dishes it out by the box, it's a delicious one when he's just feeding the players by the box.
Well, after a plug like this, surely something comes my way.
Surely there's a couple of days just coming your way. Couldn't be that hard. So you travel up tomorrow and you train at Metricon tomorrow? Or it'd have to be tomorrow, wouldn't it?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, we fly about midday, I think it is, and go straight to the ground and have a training session and then, put the feet up and relax and get ready for the game.
Well, I'm looking forward to it because, as you know, I'm a top four Tigers sort of fella. I picked it last year. I've been riding the train strongly this year, and I just can't wait to get through these next 3 weeks because I've had enough of this stuff for the Tigers. They don't need this stuff anymore. They should get an exemption from playing the last three games. Just give them the 3 wins and get them ready for the finals. That's when they're at their best. So I reckon you'll smash the Gold Coast on the weekend. Good luck, Grigger. You don't have to say anything. But looking forward to seeing how you go on Saturday against the Suns.
Beautiful. Thanks, boys.
Good stuff. Sean Grigg with us from the Tigers in the Inner Sanctum. We've got the Gold Coast Saturday at Metricon Stadium. Local guides, if you want to check them, 2:10 is the time for Richmond fans to check on the box.